This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, good to be with you, Payne and Pendergast, Sports Radio 610. The Texans' new uniforms unveiled yesterday, I would say, to largely positive reviews. And I think you brought up a really good point earlier, Seth, which is the leaks. You bring up a lot of good points. The leaks that happened, the first uniform leak of the model from the private reveal, you know, just kind of standing there in an empty warehouse, and then the helmet reveal, which looked to be a possible felony, somebody removing it from a box in what looked to be a shipping facility somewhere.
Right.
That the Texans. That those two leaks, which I thought the Texans did a really good job of responding to, I think one of the other like silver linings of the leaks was that I thought Cal McNair came across really well in the response to both of those, you know, kind of defiant and like, hey, you're going to leak this. Well, we're going to do even better. And he the picture of him with the dog, he threw up the picture of Nico and Tank wearing the white uniforms. But I think you're right. Like the initial response to the actual leaks, to the picture of the model and the helmet being pulled out of a box, were so negative or at best mixed. I think it was largely negative to the model wearing the uniform, and I would say it was mixed to the helmet. I think there were some positive reviews of the helmet, but that maybe for a lot of people it set the bar at a certain level. I just know that the reaction has been very, very positive to those uniforms, and I think the way they executed it was really well done.
I think, honestly, one of the leaks was that graphic that had the four uniforms laid out, and the bull theme, the battle red, was completely wrong when it came to the helmet and everything. And that one, I mean, somebody had actually forwarded that to me that I thought knew what they were talking about, so I don't know if that person was full of crap or what. That was ugly. That was just flat out ugly. So some of the leaks were inaccurate and ugly.
Yeah.
So that ended up being really, really the battle red was way beyond my expectations, because the leak that I had seen, not just what didn't have the right face mask color, didn't have the right bull. Like the bull horns, the way they'd been presented in some of the fake leaks looked cheesy as hell.
Yes.
The bull horns on the jersey and on the helmet for the battle red now look badass.
Yeah.
Like they don't even, you only look at it as a horn because you know that it's a horn, the one on the jersey. Those look really, really cool.
Yeah. That was, if there was one guess out there that I thought people were the furthest off on, because I'd seen the uniforms, and so when I saw the quote unquote leaks of the full set of four uniforms, and I looked at those and I'm like, okay, some of these are, as I'm watching them, and I'm not replying to any of it because I didn't, you know, we're not allowed to, but I'm looking at them and I'm going, okay, some of these are pretty close. You know, some of them, there was one, the Color Rush one that people were speculating had the outline of the Houston skyline on the sleeve. That was not the case, although it looked cool on the fake ones that were out there. But the one thing that the leaks were most off on, like the furthest off on, was the battle red helmet. You're right, Seth. The horn, the one that I saw that had white horns on a red helmet, I'm like, this isn't even close. It's way better than. And I wanted to say, like, no, it's way cooler than what's being leaked out there right now.
But I think that ended up working to their benefit.
I agree.
I would say if I found out that the Texans had run like a false flag operation or something to try to make it look worse than they were actually going to be, it lowered the expectations to such that when you saw the videos were really well produced.
Really well.
I thought the same level of cinematography as that Broncos one, and yet without the annoyingly long buildup that Broncos one had.
Man.
And the volume of the videos, too. They did like at least six really, really high quality videos.
Yeah, it was really good. The McNairs were in studio yesterday with John and Landry. We'll be sprinkling a lot of this in throughout the show. But as long as we're talking about the uniforms themselves, here were the McNairs talking about the return of the deep steel blue.
So Nike didn't make the deep steel blue color that we used to have. Mm-hmm. And so it went to a lighter navy. This color actually is the same as the Yankees navy.
Okay.
It's that deep,
dark
steel blue.
Dark blue, yep. Which is where we started.
Yeah. So this is, and Seth, you know this, you were on those teams that had those blue jerseys that when the league flipped over to Nike.
Yeah.
How is a color not available?
I don't know. That's where it annoyed me. I'm like, wait a second. You're a partner with Elite. You can't come up with a dye
to color.
Custom made jersey.
Yeah.
Like, what kind of trash ass operation are you running over there?
You got something in your hand.
Asia?
What do you got?
Well, this is my original jersey.
Okay.
They had sent these out to a bunch of players. Like they were cleaning house from the inventory, so they had all this stuff. So they sent out to a lot of former Texans players. Some of their game-worn jerseys.
Mm-hmm.
So this is from the first season. It's got the inaugural patch on it.
It's cool.
And I feel like this isn't as deep blue as the deep blue that Cal said.
I'm with you. Yeah.
With,
that looks more like the one we've become accustomed to the last several years.
Right, yeah. Right. So I think this is, I don't know. We'll have to get some clarification on that. It feels like this is the closest to an actual deep steel blue that we've actually had on the jerseys.
Yeah.
But I might, maybe in year two or three, they switched it.
Yeah. 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 I like that there's three distinctly different helmets. You know, the league just passed a rule where you can use a third helmet now, starting in 2025, unless you're changing uniforms this year. So the Texans are allowed to use all three of these helmets. I'm bummed out. They can only use the alternative uniforms, the battle red and the color rush, three times during the season, because those are my two favorites. But I like that they've got three helmets, and they're distinctly different. You've got the traditional helmet with the bull logo on the side, each side of the helmet. You've got the battle red one, which, as you just said, has a badass horns. It's interesting, too, if you look at the logo for the Texans, the bull head is kind of tilted a little bit.
Yeah.
On the regular logo, I'm told if you look straight on at the battle red helmet, that the horns are actually kind of tilted at the same angles as the logo. So they're
not
straight back. They're kind of tilted a little bit, which is kind of a cool little Easter egg. And then you got the Color Rush helmet with the H-Town blue H on the side, which not nearly as many people have been complaining about in the last 24 hours as we're complaining about it after the leak.
Right. Once you see it with the rest of the uniform, it looks 400 times better.
Yeah.
And that old English H, I don't know, man. I that grew on me very, very quickly. I didn't know for sure, having just seen the video, the leaked video, but it's after seeing the Color Rush uniform. Yeah, that would be the tattoo I'd get, I think, is that H.
That H.
If I were to get a Texans tattoo.
It came down to, because I was in the meeting where the voting was done on that. Like they polled the fan council on the H's. I don't know if they ultimately used that as the reason for choosing the H, but it was down to that and an H that looked kind of like it came out of the same alphabet group as the Miami Marlins baseball cap. You know, a more modern looking H, kind of tilted and very, very curvy and boxy, you know, in different spots. And from what I heard, the one that wound up on the helmet won in a landslide.
Really?
Yeah, the old English H was very, very popular.
It's tricky, you know, when you try to. I mean, it can go south really quickly when you rely on committees or input too heavily, it's tricky. Because you got to let your creative types do what your creative types are going to do. But a lot of times, you know, when you get too many people, what was the old saying?
Cooks in the kitchen?
No, a camel is a horse designed by committee. It's like, yeah, too many.
It is. I forgot about that.
It's when you're like, ah, no, you know what we really need is, that looks pretty good, but I'd really like is a hump. Would you like one hump or two? Well, we couldn't figure it out, so some will have one and some will have two humps.
I've heard that saying before. I don't know why it hit different coming on the heels of the uniform release. It just did.
This is how I felt. Was that I don't usually get excited about stuff like this, but I think what it feels most like is, like, when you're a kid, I was never super into clothes and everything, but when you get your school clothes at the beginning of the year and you know you look good, like, this is the best I'm going to look all year long, is when I got, my mom gave me, like, I don't know how much it was, like $75 back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
I can go buy two pairs of jeans and three polo shirts or whatever. Like, I look damn it, I look good. Yeah. It's all downhill from here,
right,
but I
right.
look good
I'm gonna look,
on the first day of school.
I'm going to look fresh for a week.
Yes,
it's going to be the greatest week of the year. Have you looked at Clint Sterner's poll that he put up yesterday about what uniform is the favorite?
I haven't looked at his poll in a while.
Okay.
So let me see. How's it doing?
Well, it's closed. I think he only
sleep deprivation with children and everything.
I think he only put it up for as long as, like, he put it up for a few hours so they would have the final results during their show, it would appear.
Okay.
But of the four, he says, which is your favorite? The home blues, the away whites. He's talking about the jerseys here.
Yeah.
Red alternative, and then the color rush. Which do you think is the most popular among the 1,000 people that voted in Clint Sterner's poll? And by the way, this mirrors a lot of the other polls that I saw out there, too. So
the red alternative.
Yep. Nearly half the votes.
Now, were they calling it red alternative instead of battle red, or
no,
are they just using it?
They weren't calling it battle red. I'm blanking on what they were calling it last night.
But why aren't they calling it battle? Are they phasing out the name battle red?
That I don't know. That's a good question. That is a question that I will put on my list of questions to follow up on.
Is this a politically correct thing?
I don't. Yeah,
they want to. You know, just don't want any connections to actual battles or anything.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
I'm going to start calling it the Battle of San Jacinto Red.
Yes.
I'm going to go in the opposite direction. Oh, you want to phase out battle?
Right.
Because of the associations with war? Battle of San Jacinto Red, damn it.
Yep, exactly. We're going to pick a different battle and assign it to each of the four uniforms. 47.6% say the red alternative. 31.3% say the color rush. So you're talking nearly 80% that are down with the two, like, you know, newer, glitzier kind of uniforms as opposed to the traditional. The traditional, the away whites, 11.6%, and then the home blues, 9.4%, as far as favorite jerseys go.
So, and they'll be able to wear the color rush and the color formerly known as battle red, just a total of three. Those two configurations, a total of three times.
Total of three times. Or some permutation of them. You know, like last year against the, I think it was the Cardinals, if you recall, they did the color rush uniforms with the battle red helmet. Remember that game?
Yeah.
That was cool looking. And I think that was a big question that we were getting from a lot of people too, because the release yesterday for the Texans had white jersey on blue pants, blue jersey on white pants, red head to toe, color rush head to toe. And a lot of people were going, so is this it? Like, these are just the only four combinations? They can't do white on white or blue on blue anymore? And it's like, no. They can. And in fact, they released pictures after the initial uniform release of, they had like Christian Harris in a white jersey, white pant combination that just looked awesome. They had Tank Dell in the red jersey with the white pants, and that picture was just so clean. It was so good. So yeah, no, there's all sorts of permutations that they can do with this stuff.
The color rush, there was I'm trying to figure out the Space City uniforms or the City Connect uniforms for the Astros have grown on me. I didn't like them at first. And I wonder if now that I like the City Connect uniforms, I feel like that helped me like the Color Rush uniforms that much more.
Yeah.
Because there's you know, it's darker, but it's monochromatic.
Yep.
The base color, it looks more monochromatic. Obviously, it's got multiple colors
sure.
on it. But I think, yeah, the one disappointment I saw, or one of the disappointments I saw, that was that people thought that there was going to be Houston skyline on one of them. I have a hard time with that because I really feel like if you're going to do the skyline for Houston, you might as well do three or four various skylines. Because you've got the Galleria, you've got downtown, You've got Memorial City.
Yeah.
You could go ahead and hit the Woodlands while you're at
Dude.
It. Just, we've got so many. Oh, the Medical Center. We need the Medical Center skyline.
Today,
in there.
We are wearing the Greenspoint Color Rush uniforms.
Yeah.
We're feeling it today, man. We got to bring the heat today. We're wearing. We're going
to the Greenway Plaza.
Greenway you know? Plaza. Yes. Yes. That's
what I'm. That's what I'm lobbying for. I want the Greenway Plaza Color Rush uniforms next year.
That is funny. That is funny. I was thinking about this yesterday, especially on the heels of Hannah McNair kind of hitting the red button on Amy Adams' trunk on with the guys on In the Loop. We'll get to that a little later on this hour. If you missed it, we played it earlier. I was thinking yesterday, okay, they can wear the color or they can wear the alternative uniforms, either the red or the color rush, for three games this coming season. And I'm assuming they'll all be home games where they do this. But they have worn the color rush on the road before, too. Deshaun Watson's first win ever as Houston Texans quarterback, if I'm not mistaken, was at Cincinnati wearing color rush uniforms. So it's not just a home thing, or potentially. I mean, this is 6 years ago. I think, Seth, after yesterday, it is a stone-cold lock. The home Titans game will be the color rush with the H-Town blue in it. Or is that too petty? Is that, you know, is that, are we giving the Titans, are we punching down by wearing those uniforms for the Titans game?
Sean, you try to punch down on the Titans, you might damn near get your hand stuck in bedrock. That's how low you have to go.
Right.
And yet I'm willing to take that chance. No. When they go low, we go lower.
Okay.
That's the motto.
That's the motto.
Okay. When they go low, we go lower.
Okay.
And it don't get no lower than the elevation of Houston, Texas.
That's right.
And during a rainstorm.
That's right.
So, yeah, we're going to – no, yeah, we wear the – that'll definitely be during the Titans game.
Yeah, I'd bet on that. That's the one I'd bet on. I think if I had to guess, the eight home games real quick are the three division games, Baltimore, Chicago, Detroit, Buffalo, Miami. I got to think Buffalo is a good chance of an alternate uniform night or day, considering the whole Stephon Diggs angle. Yeah, it's, and Buffalo's considered to be a good football team.
I'm looking at the Texans website just to be sure. They are still using Battle Red as like the Battle Red and Liberty White are the bull uniforms. But then they just say alternate red at these other times. So I don't know exactly what the whole deal is there. Yeah.
I think the usage of the other alternative uniforms, while I think Buffalo would be a strong one to use it for, because I think that's probably, even without Stephon Diggs, like on paper, them and Detroit are probably the two best teams on the schedule this year.
Yeah.
And Baltimore as well. I think it may just depend on like the schedule itself. Like if it's a primetime game, then that would be a cool night to do the alternative uniforms, regardless of opponent. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I would say wait until it and do it for the primetime games.
Yeah.
Make it extra special. Now, I don't know from a marketing standpoint, do they figure, well, look, the primetime game has a glitz already there, that maybe sometimes you do the battle red on a noon game to add a little bit of extra zing to the more boring start time.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. Look, this is my hope, is that the Texans this season, they made a big step towards this last year, but you know, the zing in the stadium is the team, and you don't have to worry about what uniform they're wearing. You know what I mean? Like it's just the allure is that you're rooting for one of the four or five best teams in the NFL, you know?
Right, yeah, I get that, but I'm trying to think from a marketing person's standpoint.
To try to move jerseys and stuff like that?
Yeah. So, like, you're going to have some you stack. You're already going to have a whole lot of built-in enthusiasm, and perhaps people have been drinking all day for some of those primetime games.
Yeah.
Where to get people going at noon and maybe buy more apparel and everything, having a little something extra special there for the noon game, it might even out the sales more.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank.
LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Text message from a Killjoy. It's really hilarious how much we're talking about the colors of the uniforms, but it won't even matter if they suck. It won't even matter if they're awesome. Sir, we are enjoying these uniforms. Basically, he's saying uniforms don't matter.
Here's the thing. I'm going to let this guy in on a little secret.
Yeah.
If you don't know or realize this yet already. We're talking about sports.
Right.
None of it actually matters, okay? The fact that you're listening to a sports radio show where we're talking about, on any given day, oh, no, let's get to the serious talk. Oh, yeah, about the people chasing the leather ball wearing tights of various colors. Yeah, sorry. That's the super serious, earth-shattering stuff that really matters. Get over yourself. You're too serious, damn it.
Is punching down...
We're all going to be dead in a few decades anyway. Enjoy life a little, son of a bitch.
Is punching down on the Titans called the Andre Johnson? Sir, you can shut it down for the day. You're not going to send a better text to anybody than the one you just sent to Payne and Pendergast. Is punching down on the Titans called the Andre... Andre was there last night. Andre presented the McNairs with gigantic diamond pendants. From the former player, I believe it was from the former players. So you may be getting a bill for that, Seth, at some point. I don't know. the random invoice shows up for one 215th of a huge diamond bill. But yeah, they gave Hannah one that was a huge H, and they gave Cal one that was a big Texans like diamond encrusted helmet. It was really, really cool.
We have an app for the former players where we get text messages, like group texts and everything.
Yeah.
And but I never I'm as you know how I am with communications. I don't keep up to speed with stuff. I got a backlog on that.
Oh, do you?
I think I could have gone to that party both as either a former player or a media member last night.
Oh man, look at you. You'd have
that was a big step for me when they introduced D'Amico Ryans as the head coach. Remember, I had to make that choice between sitting with the former players in the press conference or sitting with the media. And I went and it felt like I was kind of walking into the lunchroom. And, you know, when the nerdy kid all of a sudden gets taken in by the cool kids.
Yeah.
I felt a little bit like that. I was like, I'm going to forsake my nerdy friends and go sit with the cool kids at the former
That's place. How we all felt, too. I just sat there like Seth's
Sean
one.
Sean was like, Seth, I've got a seat for you.
Yeah.
And Whitney Mercer was like, hey, Seth, who's that? And I'm like, I don't know. I've never seen him before.
Yeah, like Seth shunned
me. I sat next to Whitney.
I was all ready to play chess with Seth at the press conference. I had the chess.
Seth, we got to get ready for the D&D game.
I had my wizard outfit on. I had my D&D books all stacked up. But Seth, I have leftover hit points. Where are you going? Where are you going, Seth? I have a wand, a sword in one hand, and a wizard hat. Seth's going with his cool friends, guys. We need a new Seth.
the texter does bring up a good point that it won't matter if they're awesome and it won't matter if they suck, I suppose. But it is, look, man, the Texans also don't have a first-round pick tomorrow.
Okay? Yeah.
As of yet.
God bless uniforms.
yeah.
All right, so Cal and Hannah. Cal and Hannah were in studio
yesterday.
Guess
I'll get you an anniversary present. I mean, you're just like, we're going to stay married whether I get you one or not. They're like, here you go. Throw some flowers at your wife.
Picturing all
I don't know. Does it really matter?
Picturing all the media nerds. Me, that Seth worked with me. Landry, Jason Bristol, Matt Musil. We're all just watching Seth sidle over to the former players while we're there with our flood pants and our nerd glasses.
I had to be careful because remember I had said that if it didn't work out, I was so confident that D'Amico Ryans would be an awesome NFL head coach that I would quit my job if it didn't work out.
Right.
We're still in the window where it still could potentially not work out, but I'm still confident enough. I could have just let that die and never say anything about it again, but I'm still pretty confident that I'm not going to have to quit my job.
Yeah. I have a hard time envisioning a scenario where D'Amico Ryans is not a good football coach. Like it would take some serious substance abuse probably for that to happen.
Well, it would. Yeah, and I don't see that happening.
No.
So I wonder if though. No, but it wasn't. Part of it was, though, that it had to work out with the Texans.
Yeah.
So there's different things that can happen.
That's true.
It's not the coach's fault.
Gary Kubiak was a good coach who just it went sideways, and he wins the Super Bowl 2 years later. You know,
like, can I tell you something real quick that I had forgotten the timeline on when it talks about a good coach and things going sideways?
Yes.
The other day, I was listening to Brett Coleman and Daniel Jeremiah on their podcast, and Brett Coleman has a really successful YouTube channel, but he used to work for NFL Films. And Daniel Jeremiah was kind of just walking down memory lane, and he remembered a time when they were doing a broadcast, and they had a depth chart set up, like, with the magnets on a board and everything. And Daniel Jeremiah couldn't remember who, but he said there was a linebacker that was slotted in the wrong spot. And Brett Coleman, who was a young kid at the time, very politely said, you know, hey, actually, I think he's actually an outside linebacker here. And Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks were really happy because they saved them from looking like idiots. And so I texted them both afterwards after I listened to this, and I was like, I think they were talking about Brooks Reed. I thought that it was Sam Montgomery. Because immediately, remember, Mike and I had Les Miles on right after the draft.
Yeah.
And Les Miles was kind of surprised that the Texans were looking at him as an outside linebacker. He was like, well, certainly the Texans know a lot more about their defense than I do. I'm just surprised that Sam Montgomery is going to be an outside linebacker. I wouldn't have expected that. And we thought, like, really didn't think anything of it. Fast forward to, like, 8 weeks later, Sam Montgomery moves to defensive end. Gary Kubiak explains that he just liked to eat. And then I forgot. So that's 2013.
Yeah.
Then I forgot that same season was when the KC3
got
cut from the team for smoking a blunt at the Kansas City Hotel, allegedly.
Sir. Yep.
And Sam Montgomery, a third-round pick, got cut in his rookie year.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That hardly ever happens, and that's like the 19th craziest thing that happened in 2013.
That season, yeah. That
doesn't
even hit
the top. That was such a weird year, man.
It doesn't even hit the top 10 that season, yeah. So you're right. Like, the overall point is, like, good coaches can get swept up in just a morass of bad luck or bad fortune, and some culpability for them as well, you know. But, yeah, it's a great point. The McNairs were on with John and Landry yesterday on In the Loop. Really good interview. If you haven't listened to it yet, listen to the whole thing. We're sprinkling elements of it in here throughout the show. Landry asked Cal and Hannah yesterday about, you know, kind of what it's been like here this last year, kind of coming out of the mud of the last few seasons.
Well, there's been a lot of change from last year, and sometimes you just have to stay tuned to see what'll happen. So it's been a fun trip. And when we started the season, we really didn't know how we were going to stack up with other teams and to see our team evolve like they did and play like they did and sort of confirm all of our hard work was a lot of fun to see. But you know what that means this year?
What's that?
Absolutely nothing. Our guys got to stack it up and start over again.
Okay, D'Amico.
He's going hard-o-cal.
You got to.
You've been hanging around Nick
with that Big Nick energy.
Yeah, Big Nick energy, the hard-o-D'Amico, all that.
Dude, Hannah was on one yesterday. Big Nick energy. It was funny. I was in the control room for the whole interview. A bunch of us were. And as soon as Cal said that, you know what that means? Absolutely nothing. I just looked around. I'm like, he got Casario'd. He got the old Casario-botomy.
I'll tell you honestly, I feel like I think Landry's got a different bar for hardo than I do.
Yeah.
Because I think that part of it is that it is when you're the people that are actually in charge of the wins and losses, it's kind of embarrassing when people start heaping praise on you. Well, your contemporaries or the people that are at your same level on other teams have actually won football games.
Yeah.
You know, like you got destroyed by the Ravens in the playoffs, but you're sitting here getting all these flowers for having a good off season, or for, hey, look at the new uniforms. It's a little embarrassing. So I think sometimes almost as a reminder to yourself and certainly to your players, you got to always be reminding yourself, man, we really haven't done anything at all. Like, it's all cool that we're headed in the right direction, but this stuff goes south super fast.
You got to remember what got you there too, man, that hard work. And I think this team is a hardworking team. I do think this team's going to be pretty good at channeling all the, you know, being able to put blinders on to all the excitement that we all have on the outside and that not affecting their performance. I think D'Amico is the perfect coach for that kind of thing. He's also the perfect coach to bring in personalities like Stephon Diggs. They asked Cal and Hannah about that yesterday too. Do you feel like you've got a building now that can withstand bringing in maybe some strong personalities like Stephon Diggs.
Well, I think we're in a good place, you know, to do that, and I think it's reflective. And he's an extremely talented player, and I can't wait to, you know, get him here and see what he's going to contribute to the team.
But it goes back to, you know, Cal said, you know, last year doesn't matter, but it does, right? Mm-hmm. All of that has set the table for a culture for, you know, different types of personalities to come in. So it does matter. I think that that all did matter. And I think it will contribute to hopefully more success this year.
She's 100% right. Like this, I think there's a lot of things that happened this offseason that, you know, without – last season, you know, if last season is just your garden variety improvement for a 3-win team, you know, they go from three wins to 6 wins. You know, I don't think Danielle Hunter's coming here. You know, I don't know that a Stephon Diggs. I don't know if they're in a spot where they feel like, oh, you know what, we need a finishing touch here, Stephon Diggs. Well, that'll get us to 8-9 next year. You know,
especially I think for Danielle Hunter too. I mean, the allure of a fully guaranteed contract is a big one. Don't get me wrong, but in terms of at his age, financially, the smarter move, just strictly financially speaking, might have been to get as much guaranteed money as possible by way of a 3 or 4 or 5 year deal somewhere else. I think that the scales were probably tipped, you know, between his home field, his hometown connection, and then the fact that they are a team on the rise that matters. And I think also, I like to maybe argue or push back against like what I just described is a perfectly understandable mentality by Nick Caserio. I think that if you're going to worry more about process than results, because you want to be sure, like, you're always focused on the process being right and everything, the Texans are simply doing a lot more things right now than they possibly could have 2 or 3 years ago. There were so many things that are so far out of whack with the Texans that it was almost impossible to know where you could start, like, building an actual platform.
Yeah.
And now it's much different than that on a day-by-day basis.
And I think yesterday was one culmination of that. It's one that doesn't impact the on-field record, but just if they had tried to do what they did yesterday, the uniform unveil and then the big party afterwards, Seth, if they had tried to do that 2 years ago, I think people might have laughed at them if they tried to do it 2 years ago. Now you're doing it amidst an environment of winning, and it's viewed as one of the greatest things the franchise has ever done. You know, like they are charting forth this new course now, this new era in new uniforms. Like, you really do feel that kind of the newness of everything.
You know what? I think that part especially is true, because I think it's always kind of like, okay, you roll out new uniforms a couple years ago, and it's lipstick on a pig in a lot of regards. You know, I think kind of along that same line of thinking when it comes to, okay, even if the results aren't there, you start doing things the right way and differently. 2 years ago, when Lovie Smith was the coach and there was still a lot of turmoil and dysfunction or what have you, they did have that draft party and that at the Pavilion, which ended up being really, really cool.
Yes.
Like that, I feel like that as an organization, that doesn't have anything to do with the football people or anything. I feel like some of the changes they had started to make felt more like an organization that knew what the hell they were doing. You know, they were stretching out from what they had traditionally done. The people that showed up were pretty damn enthusiastic and everything, and that was without, like, D'Amico being there or anything else.
I'm glad you said that, bingo. I was thinking about that on the way in today, is that we saw players there modeling the uniforms last night. Andre Johnson's there. The owners are there. Greg Grissom is there. All the people on the business side who are involved. Doug Bosick, who was the catalyst behind a lot of this stuff with the new uniforms and the unveiling. They were all there last night. There was neither hide nor hair of Nick Caserio nor D'Amico Ryans or anybody on the football ops side. And I think that's a great thing, because when they were going through that tough phase, this is where I felt a little bad for Lovie Smith. Like, Lovie Smith was actually one of the few marketable things that team had in terms of his personality and the gray beard, cool uncle or grandfather vibe that he had. Remember, they had Lovie was getting his beard trimmed, and they had other media members and some fans getting their beards and hair trimmed. They set up a barber chair somewhere, you know, like, and
cool t-shirt with the silhouette of the beard.
This is not me throwing shade at any of that. I'm not making fun of it at all. That's where the Texans were 2 years ago. And you got to market your team. And you're handed what you're handed. And you try to do your best at marketing the team. And that was, sadly, among the most marketable things they had at that point. If you're looking for a sign among the many that this franchise has now normalized and is operating like a good, solid, aspiring to be a Super Bowl champion franchise, know that all this stuff they've been doing, there's been no bigger marketing effort this team has made maybe in its history than these new uniforms, and nobody on the football ops side was anywhere near any of it. I mean, the players were obviously, but I'm talking about management. They're working on the draft right now. You know what I mean? Like I just feel really good about it, man. You know, just the whole thing.
Yeah, and it, like, kind of to give a serious answer to the person earlier who had said that, you know, it's ridiculous to be getting excited about jerseys or what have you. Like, I think that is a barometer for whether the organization knows what it's doing or not. It was a couple years ago before D'Amico was even hired, where at least on the organizational side, they started doing things like a modern NFL franchise.
Yes.
And it didn't feel all weird, you know, like outside the box mumbo jumbo thinking of Jack Easterby type of stuff. It was just like, no, we're going to do things that are proven, things that work. We're going to hire smart people to handle certain things instead of having one overlord of weirdness over everything. Like, it felt like more of a normal organization in a good way.
Yep, absolutely. A few people weighing in on the text page. I think Mr. Killjoy is the one who voted for that Bills trainer for MVP last year. That's good.
Let's think about what really matters, everybody.
Dude, there are some funny texts about you going and hanging out with your cool friends at D'Amico's press conference. Meltzer would push up his glasses and say, that guy is unbearable. Sean was sitting in the crack between the benches with one cheek on each side, just happy to have a seat at lunch. Not that I know anything from my experience or anything. LOL. Oh, that is funny. That's from a texter. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Wednesday. Johnny Harris is going to join us in the 8 o'clock hour at about 8:25 or so. John Harris will jump on. It's the day before the draft, so we got to talk some draft. In fact, let's do that in the next segment. Caleb Williams is going to go number one in the draft, but it feels like more and more all the evaluations I've been waiting for this offseason, they're all popping up here at the last minute. Two comps on Caleb Williams. One, a football player I don't think you want to be compared to. The other, a pop culture figure, which I've never heard a comparison like this for a quarterback before. That is next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.